Turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I would like to look at the 14th verse. And look at really the first half of the 14th verse. The scripture says, and this is the bride speaking concerning him who is altogether lovely. She says of him, his hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. I began to think a moment ago when Pat was leading that last song, I began to think on the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that which is said concerning his hands. She says that his hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. But those hands, I thought about the hands that touched, those that he came in contact with, that he, the leper, that he healed, the woman that was raised, Peter's wife, raised, young boy that was in a funeral, Lord, raised. The hands that laid themselves down. He laid his hands down and was pierced. He told Thomas when Thomas doubted, said, unless I see the prints, unless I see the scars, I'm not going to believe. And the bride speaks of his hands. What does his hands imply? What does the scripture say about his hands? Why are his hands to the bride? Why are they so lovely? Why are they, as she says, as gold rings? His hands, the hands of the beloved. They speak, first of all, of his accomplishment. Psalm 92:4 says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. What has the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished? That's what he's done. He's accomplished. At Calvary, he said this. These were the last words, right, some of the last words that are recorded. He said, it's finished. It's finished. It's over. He had put away sin, paid the debt. The psalmist says here, you've made me glad through your work. I triumph, he says. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's triumphed, but David said here, he said, I triumph in the work of your hands. That which you've done for me. You've accomplished for me. Psalm 111:6 says, he showed his people the power of his works that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. He has done that which only he could do. His hands speak of his accomplishment. Secondly, his hands speak of his purpose. Turn with me to Acts 4, verse 27. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. the Scripture speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ being taken before the crucifixion. Acts 4, verse 27, "For of a truth, against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." It says here that God's hand purposed all that was purposed to be done. Thy hand purposed. Whatever God has purposed for His people surely will be performed and experienced in this life. Brother Carl read in Ephesians chapter 1, that which God had purposed, God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, chose a people in Him, predestinated them to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He purposed it. Almighty God purposed it, and His hand, the Scripture says, was that hand of purpose. Here we see God Almighty, the Father, who the Scripture says, the last verse that Carl read, who first trusted in Christ, or spoke on that a while back, who trusted in Christ first? The Father. The Father trusted in Him first. Working all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His matchless grace. His hand purposed it. His purpose, if left to man's will or ability, would fail. At first I wrote that down. I said His purpose could fail. And I scratched it out. If you ever look at my notes, you scratch that out, and I said it would fail. It would. It's not even up for debate. His purpose would fail if His purpose was at the weakness of man's will. But Job 4:17-19 says, "Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, He put no trust in His servants, and His angels He charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth." His hand. Whatsoever Your hand purposed to do. The hand of His immutable purpose. The bride says of Him, His hands. Oh, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of His purpose. Job 15:15 says, "Behold, He putteth no trust in His saints." Concerning His purpose, will Almighty God entrust His purpose, Neil, even to His elect? Would He? "He putteth no trust in His saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in His sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water?" His hand concerning His purpose. Then thirdly, His hands speak of His power. Psalm 20 and verse 6 says, "Now I know that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." His right hand, His power. This is the hand of the Almighty God, omnipotent. I like that it says, "I know," David said, I know that the Lord saveth, He saveth His anointed. Saveth. He will hear him. When His right hand is mentioned in Scripture, the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the Lord's power to accomplish the mediatorial work in the everlasting covenant. He accomplishes. Some in judgment, His right hand, judge sometimes in mercy, but it's always powerful. His right hand. Psalm 80 and verse 17 says, Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. His right hand. In Exodus 15:6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. That's his hand. When he speaks of his hand, speaks of his purpose, his accomplishment, his power. That's who he is. Who is he, bride? Who is he, beloved? Who is your beloved under you? Who is your beloved more than another beloved? That's what the daughters of Jerusalem. I'll tell you, she's telling him all these things. She gets down to his hand. His hands are his gold rings set with beryl. His hand, fourthly, speaks of his providence and his provision. Turn with me while I look at this. Turn over to Job, verse 2, chapter 2. Job 2, verse 9 and 10. Let me just say this. Job had providentially been brought to a great trial. You know the story of Job. Satan had come to the Lord, and the Lord asked him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan told him, he said, "Well, you hedged him about. If I could get to him, I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd curse you. You take everything from him, you put him in dire straits, get him where he doesn't have anything, has no possessions, and does Job serve you for nothing?" That's what he asked him. Will a man serve God for nothing? My question is this: could a man serve God for nothing? No, he couldn't. Somebody would say, "Yeah, but you think of the riches that we have in glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's something. That's something." But Satan asked him, says, "Does Job serve you for naught? You let me get at him." And the Lord told him, he said, you can touch his body, you can't kill him, though. Take what he's got. And in Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, after Job had all of this stuff taken, and here's what Job's wife, this was her advice to him. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." In his hand. That's the hand of his providence. The hand of his provision. Job says, "And I received good at the hand of the Lord and not evil." Is that, you know, he does that which is right. In Psalm 31:15, the scripture sets forth of the stability of God's people. Psalm 31 and verse 15. My times, that's what it says, are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute. My times are in your provision, on your timetable, according to your purpose. My times are as far as you dictate. That's what His hand is. The Lord works all things after the counsel of His own will. And His hand of providence performs it to His honor and to the good of His people. His hands protect and preserve and keep. But His hands, not only are they the hands of provision and protection and preservation, accomplishment, power. His hand is referred to in Scripture as the hand that presents the bride before the face of the Father. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 45, verses 7 to 9. Psalm 45. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture concerning the presentation of the bride. And I thought on this, and my thought was the honor that was bestowed upon the bride as she is presented. It's as if she has been granted the privilege to, like when a woman comes and takes the arm of her husband, you know, puts her hand upon him, and he escorts her. That's what's being done right here. Psalm 45, verse 7 to 9. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia are out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen. That's the bride right there. Upon his right hand, the queen in gold of Ophir. The queen. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory, is arrayed, that is the queen. She is arrayed in the gold of Ophir. I looked at, that's the best gold. The best. She's arrayed in the best. Here is, she's upon his hand. And here she is being presented. And she is being presented to Almighty God upon his right hand. She stands there. Stands beside. In the imputed robe of his righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth His bride in the place of dignity. The chaste virgin found in Him. It says here in that last verse, King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. That word stand right there is stationed, appointed. That's what it means. That's where she stands. He's made her to stand. He's appointed her. Here we behold Christ and His bride as she's accepted in the Beloved. Now you think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, as He stands before His Father, and here is His bride, chosen in Him from the foundation of the world, beloved, everlastingly loved, entered into between the thrice holy God that eternal covenant on her behalf, with her, in Him. And here she is arrayed in the spotless, holy garments of His righteousness. And she is escorted in by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Beloved Son. And here's what Scripture says. Accept. Accepted. There's the queen. And she stands appointed, placed on his right hand. His hand of purpose and power and providence, protection and preservation. And here she is presented, robed in his righteousness. Perfect. Psalm 48:9 says, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Your right hand of power, purpose, protection. He is righteous. He is righteousness. What He does is righteous. What He gives in mercy is righteous. And whatever He withholds is according to His righteousness. He does what He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No man stays His hand. He's the righteous one. And by His hand is revealed justice. Psalm 21:7. By His hand, is revealed the justice of Almighty God, the judgment and condemnation. Psalm 21:7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Who is He? That's Him. It's His hand. His hand of power, providence, protection, preservation, presentation. His hand. And by His hand, turn over, look at Psalm 17:7. By His hand is salvation. Psalm 17:7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest, by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the people, as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. His hand. That's what verse 7 says. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest, by thy right hand power. Here is the comfort of the believer. Here's the safety of the saints. Psalm 20:7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We trust in Him, in His right hand. Here in the hand of our mighty God is security. You think of the honor that is spoken of the hands of God as our great covenant head, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He hung upon that tree. Our surety, our representative. He spoke these words, and all in Him spoke these words. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Into His hands, into your protection, into your power, into your preservation, into your keeping, your hands. His hands, the bride says, are as gold rings, precious, priceless, and glorious. No imperfection found within His hands. That's what she said. Your hands are as gold rings. No beginning, no end. Perfect in any angle. A setting forth of His eternal covenant. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That's what His hands are. Nothing fleeting. Nothing perishing. But I like this. He says, His hands are as gold rings. Plural. The rings. Psalm 104:24 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. I thought on the riches or the rings, the gold rings, the way His hands are compared. His hands are His gold rings. Consider the riches of eternal life. John 17:2 says, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life first. to as many as Thou hast given him. Secondly, eternal redemption. Your hands are as gold rings, everlasting. You know, I talk about that. You know, when you have a marriage ceremony, we talk about the ring, and it's round. It has no beginning, no end. Everlasting, eternal. That's what it is. Gold rings. Eternal redemption. Secondly, Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He accomplished, He obtained it. He bought it, paid for it in His own blood. And then the ring of eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Who is He? What is He to you? She says His hands are His gold rings. But this is the last thing she says that I'll deal with tonight on His hands. She said they're set with the barrel. What are His hands? They're gold rings set with the barrel. The first time that barrel, that gem, is mentioned. Barrel was one of the stones that was the precious stones that were mounted upon the breastplate of judgment of the high priest. The different stones it named them. The sapphire, onyx, the beryl, the diamond. Those stones represented God's peculiar people. The true Israel, the elect, the bride, His church. And it set forth in type when that high priest would go in to the holy place. He would go in bearing upon his heart the names of all that he represented. The Lord Jesus Christ bears upon his heart all of the elect. He represents them as their high priest. And the bride says concerning him, his hands are set with the barrel. They're set. I looked at that for a while and I kept trying to focus in on the word barrel, the gem itself. And I knew that it was a setting forth of the elect of God, the people of God. That's the barrel, that's what it was talking about, the precious stones. Those who in Malachi 3:17, feared the Lord. They're said to be His jewels. That's what Malachi 3:17, their special treasure that shall be spared. His people, His jewels. They are the recipients of the mercy of Almighty God, who Jeremiah 32:40 said, God has put His fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from Him. That's who the barrel are. That's who they are. But the bride says concerning Him, His hands are His gold. They're set. His hands are set. There's the key word right there, Neil. Set. His hands are set with the barrel. Set. That set, setting forth right there. What it means is they're in, held. That's who they are. It says they're set in the everlasting memory of His love. That's what it's talking about, set. That word set means to fill, to be full of, to be fenced, to gather, or to have wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, or completely. That's what the word set means. Set. Filled, full, fenced, gathered, to have completely. His hands, she says, are as gold rings, and they're set, they're filled. They're holding. They're filled with. They're fenced, they're gathered with the barrel. His hands, who are they? This is the hands of my security. His hands are set, filled with the barrel, with the elect. They're set in the memory of His love. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands of power. And thy walls are continually before me." The walls, he said, your walls. That means your protection. You're hedged about. This is what he said. He said, a mother may forget her sucking child. I got a daughter that's got a little baby. Nurses that little baby. I can't even just fathom that she'd forget that baby. I mean, she just wakes up, I'll call her and talk to her about it. And I say, "Well, how how's Kelly Grace?" You know, "Oh my goodness. Oh, Daddy," I just sit there and wait for her to wake up so I can nurse her. And, "Oh, she's so excited. She's so cute. She says this, she does that. She says Papa and stuff like that." Well, not yet, but she's thinking about it. But oh, that little bit. She says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child?" Yes. But he said, "I will never forget you. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. I'll remember you." That dying thief, the song said he rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. What did he ask the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, "Lord, would you remember me? Would you remember me? Who is this? Oh, his hands. His hands of power and accomplishment, preservation, purpose, provision, protection. His hands are as gold rings, and they're set, filled, gathered, accomplished with the barrel, the elect." John 10:27-29 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Who is he? She says, "Well, I'll tell you this. His hands are as gold rings set with the barrel." That's who he is. Okay.